Alrighty, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We actually took a short hiatus to do our short sermon series on the mission, 4 parts. We just finished that, and so we're going to resume back on our sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. And I know we haven't gone through a lot of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We're sort of on the Beatitudes. And what we're going to do is, in the next three Sundays, finish the Beatitudes, and it's going to be sort of the beginning of school year. And so we're going to pick up on our other sermon series through the Bible, beginning with Matthew, all the way to Revelation. And so that should take us through the winter and then hopefully in summer. Alrighty. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. If you could all stand, rise for the reading of God's word, if you're able. And after I read it, I'm going to say this is the word of the Lord. And if you could repeat all by saying, thanks be to God, and you could have your seat. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. This is God's word to us this morning. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth, taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who persecute you for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated for his word. Let me once again, before the preaching of the word happens, let me just pray one more time. If you could bow your heads with me and ask for a help. Father in heaven, as we have sung, you're the greatest. You make impossible things happen in our lives. You make the lame walk, not in the ways of this world, but in your way. Pleasing you in all that we do, and say you open the blind eyes. They were dead in trespasses and sin, and you make them alive to see Christ, to see you, your Son. Our hope and salvation is only found in him. Oh Lord, make the lame walk in your way now. Make the perishable imperishable through the abiding living word of God now. Oh Lord, you're the only one who is able to do that. We are powerless. Oh Lord, help us. We need a miracle. Make your word weigh heavy on our hearts. May your glory fall in this place. Make it clear to us that you are at work, not man. Oh Lord, glorify thyself now through your word. Pray all this not by might, not by power, by your spirit in and through Christ.
As I said before, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the sermon that Jesus did. He has come on earth, 100% man, 100% God. This is his first sermon. And what he is doing in this three chapter is laying the laws of the kingdom, the constitution, so to speak. These are the, not everything about God's kingdom, these are the important, what he sees as important in his kingdom. And what he does off the bat is focus on the characteristic of the people who he's going to populate this kingdom with. Not anyone would do. Certain kinds of a people. A kingdom characteristics. And look at Matthew 28. And Grace is not up there, but I've said this before. After he finished the sermon, in Matthew 7, at the end, it says this. When Jesus finished his sermon saying these things, the crowds, they were astonished. They were amazed at Jesus' teaching. Of course, he was a master teacher. But there's something about, look what he said, for he's teaching them as one who had authority, not as their scribes. The scribes, the teacher of his day. The hypocrites. There's something different about Jesus. Not only he knew the problems of the people, he knew how to address them. Almost like he knew, he understood not only their problems, but he had solutions, real solutions, not just pat answers that would strike them at their core of their being. It was a shocker, a jaw-dropping teaching. And we're at this characteristic. We're on verse 8. We went through all the different ones each Sunday. And we're going to look at, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, pure in us should be a jaw-dropping truth. If it's kind of like, oh, I've heard that, Pastor Young. I've heard this before. And I'm going to go to, you know, after the service and think about wherever else. I've not done my job. And so I'm praying that as you hear Jesus speaking to you, another characteristic of God's people, born again from above, that it will shock you as it shocked the people who are listening then. And so I've just kind of, the sermon sort of structure will be, what kind of backwards. Sorry, Grace, I put it, you know, the other way around. But I'm going to talk about the word heart. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. What's the, what do you mean by heart? And then what do you mean by pure? And then third, how do you become pure in heart? So we're going. What is heart? The word heart, blessed are those who are pure in heart, is not just talking about emotions. I think that's generally what we talk about heart, emotions, or feelings. But it's not just emotions and feelings. The word heart is, in the Bible, it is your mind, includes your mind, your intellect. Not only your mind, your intellect, it includes your will, your actions. You wake up in the morning and you do this, 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 and you don't do this, this, this. And it includes your desires. What you're striving after in this world. What's the bottom of your desire? I mean, why do people want to get an A in high school? Good grade. What's the purpose? I don't know why I wanted to get an A. I remember why I was arguing with my teacher at the end of the I don't know if schools do that anymore, but at the end of the school, and you have a day to kind of say goodbye to your teacher, and then their teacher tell you a grade. And back in Northern Virginia, from 89 to 85, 84 was a B. Wait, yeah. 92 was like a B plus or something like that. And then 90 to 93 was a B plus. Sorry about that. There's no minuses. There was a B plus. And then 94 to 100 was an A. And I had a 93 on this class. And I was begging to the teacher, please give me one more point. Get an A. Now, why do people want an A? Why? Well, they want an A in classes. Well, because colleges look at your grades, your GPA, right? And your SAT, and your extracurricular activity, National Honor Society, French Honor Society, sports, all these stuff to get into whatever desired college. And what do you want to do in college? Get good grades there. What's the purpose? Well, because, see, you see what's going on? It's we're getting to the bottom of our desire. Well, the reason I want to get a good grade in college is because I want to get a good job, right? I don't want to work for McDonald's. Sorry, those who are making one for McDonald's. I heard Wegmans is an amazing job, part-time. You get all the benefits. If I lost this job, I would probably go work for Wegmans. And see, getting more to the bottom of the totality of the person is what the word heart is. Totality of the man is the human heart. And in the last 100 years, people been saying that man's heart, okay, the totality of the person is due to what? Their environment, right? Our hearts. A person is shaped by what we're surrounded with, our environment. A man is changed, is changed due to their surroundings, and that is a fallacy. It's not mainly that our environment makes the person, make of a person. No. Look at what Jesus says. Look what Jesus says. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, and blasphemy. See that? Out of the heart, out of the person come these things. And do you know why I know why mainly the environment doesn't make a person and shape the person's heart? Is because of the Bible. And I'm not that smart. Because, remember, if you know about your Bible, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they're the perfect environment, perfect place. And out of their heart, out of the heart of Adam and Eve, brought down the entire human race in death. In other words, our troubles and our problems is at the very center of our hearts. Out of the heart come these things. The problem is the center of the human heart. And we tend to blame our environment. We tend to blame other people. We tend to blame our spouses for our problems. Husband and wives, don't we tend to do that? I want to confess here. I've confessed to our accountability men's group. We tend to do that, don't we? When things don't work out, when my children pull down the hard, I don't know how, it took me like 2 hours to put up this curtain, level it, drill the holes, and put it on the wall.
and of course children. And what do? They play and they pull the curtain, comes out from the drywall, and it's, you know, I was dreading for months to fix this. I'm not your typical DIYer. Those who love this probably think this is like, you know, such a easy task, but I was dreading to do this. And one day, I kind of, you know, it's kind of bothering me a little bit. I was just there, and I didn't want kids to keep pulling on it to make it worse and fall down maybe. And as I was trying to work on this, you know, look at YouTube. You know, YouTube people make it look so easy. When you actually do it, I mean, for me, I make everything worse. And I was getting frustrated with this thing, this big, huge hole. How do I, you know, make it solid? And it wasn't working. And I was by myself trying to do this, you know. And I was just getting angry. And my kids were, you know, they came into this small little room. And they were, you know, can I help you, Daddy? I'm like, get out! What's the problem there? Why do we get angry with our spouses when our day or work goes not the way we have planned or imagined? Our career or school or grades don't go the way we imagine. We lash out people around us, our parents, our siblings, in my case, my children. Is the environment at fault there? Is the kids at fault there? Was it the small room at fault there? No. The problem is me. It's my heart. It's my sin. That's the problem. I often tend to, when things don't go right, usually my wife gets the most of it. And I didn't so much that she already knows, you know. And I think I've apologized and asked for God's her forgiveness. I mean, I don't know. It seems like hundreds of times in our 10 years of marriage. And one thing that I learned, I've not known this before, but my 10 years of almost 10 years of marriage, the problem is not my wife. The problem is not my kids. The problem is not your neighbor. The problem is not your coworker. The problem is not your student, other students, or your bad roommate. I'm sure there's some truth in that, but the real problem is you. Is your heart. Matthew chapter 23. Look at what Jesus says. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside the heart, they're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. And look at 1 Samuel chapter 16:7. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. You guys know this verse. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance, on his outside, on his height. Oh, I love that, the height. If you're small, if you're short, don't we all parents like, I wish my kid would be tall. Not short. Big head means big brain. I don't know. Maybe you don't think that way. Do not look on his appearance. Or grades, right? Grades or your SAT score. That makes the outside appearance.
or your job, or how much you make a year, or you have two cars. What kind of, where do you live? What kind of house do you have?
All the outward appearance. For I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart, the totality of the person. The will, the mind. Love the Lord with all your heart, strength, and what you think about. What you know. And obviously your feelings and desires. Blessed are those who are now pure in the totality of the person. What does pure mean? I'm running out of time here. Pure means, as you read in what Jesus said in Matthew 23, pure has a couple, I think, meanings here. And the awesome thing is, Sam just sang the song, the last song. Pure, what does pure mean? It means without hypocrisy. It means you are one, not two. It means single. Single does not mean that you don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend or you're not married. I mean single-mindedness. Purity is a single-mindedness. Is a single devotion. It is what Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with worshiping Jesus and having a lot of money and focusing on money, you know, and getting rich? Well, because that is a divided heart. Part of me wants to worship God, praise God, please God, and another part wants something else. So your heart is not pure. Your heart is divided. It is impure. So that's one meaning of perhaps pure in heart. Pure in desire. Pure in your will. Pure in your thinking. Another meaning of pure in heart is the word clean or cleansed. Pure in heart, a clean person, a clean heart. I get that from all these verses here. Look at Job 33, verse 9. Look at Job 33, verse 9. You say, I am pure without transgression. I am clean and there is no iniquity in me. Or Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who can say I have made my heart pure? I am clean from my sin. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy, next one, Grace. 1 Timothy chapter 5, 22. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. And last one is not in transparency, is what Sam read. Psalm 24, 3-4. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, a clean heart, who does not lift his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. In other words, someone who's blessed or happy is someone who is pure in heart. Someone who's very careful. Very, very careful with unclean things.
impure things. Namely, whatever that sin is. And I don't have to tell you what that sin is, do I? I don't. If you are born again from above this morning, when you are a true daughter and son of God, you know what I'm talking about. Right now, you could probably name one or two things that come to your mind like that right now. Or more. Good night, I could name multiple things right now in my heart. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, very careful with sin. Is to guard your heart. When you guard it, right? You don't just put anything in, do you? No, you guard it. Guard it from impure things, impure thoughts, impure desires, sinful desires. I have 3 road bikes. I want a 4th one. I mean, it might not be sin. It might not be impure. Nothing wrong with it. It's not multiple things that makes it impure. It is what is inside. Is it more bike means like you have, you're a better person, or you're, people look at you, you have 3 bikes, you must be like an amazing bicycler. Is that what I'm seeking here? Or is it some kind of a possession greed? I mean, it might not be. It's not about quantity. It's what's inside your heart. What's motivating that desire could be in. Nothing wrong with owning a house. Nothing wrong with owning a car or having stuff. And usually, those things, the impurity, comes to your heart, to your person, through your eyes. Mostly through your eyes and what you see. People who say, looking is okay, looking is all right. I mean, I used to think that way. I mean, it's only a movie. Who cares? I'm not doing it. That's what it matters, right? Wrong. Looking can lead to more sin, temptation. Happens through your eyes and what you see. Come on, parents, you know that, right? I mean, do you let your kids watch anything they want? Of course not. You know this. And yet, it seems like adults are not very careful. They're not very careful. Often, I'm not very careful. It works through your ears. Impure of heart, things that you listen to, things that you read and listen to, happens through your mind. Things that you read. Look what he says. I'm running out of time and I need to go to the main part, which is the last one. How do you become pure in heart? Look at Philippians. My brothers and sisters, look what he says. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Not to turn there, I have it here. Most of you guys know this verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, church, Christians, finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure.
Well, what do you mean by pure, Pastor Young?
Paul, what do you mean? No, you know what it means. Not hard. You know what's pure and impure. It's like 2 + 2 = 4. Even little kids understand. Whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable.
If I did this thing and then Sam knew it, is that commendable? He said, oh, right on, Pastor Young. Good job. Thumbs up. Would that be the
what happened? Or would Sam be like, no, that's not commendable. It's not lovely. It's not pure.
Anything excellent. Excellent. Anything praiseworthy. Think, seek these things.
Blessed are those who are pure in heart. Now, how do you become? Last 5 minutes here. How do you become pure in heart?
Philippians chapter 1, 10 through 11. Philippians chapter 1, 10 through 11. So that you may approve what is excellent. So be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Remember what we talked about in the mission? The goal of the mission is to live with God in heaven. You know what's in heaven? Everything is pure. God Himself is pure. No one is undivided up there. They're one. Their hearts are not divided. I want to be in heaven, you know, but I want to come, you know, go all the other places. They're not. They want to be there forever, living with God forever.
So be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. You see that? That comes. Purity comes through the Son. Righteousness comes through the Son.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, and it's pretty clear what this obedience to the truth is. It's not just these laws. That is in mind here. In verse 19, he says, the one who believes, who clings on to the precious blood of Christ have been purified. The blood of Christ has purified your soul. See? With the precious blood of Christ, verse 19, that of a lamb without blemish or spot. In other words, how do you become pure in heart? You need to come to Jesus. The one who had absolutely undivided heart. Remember why he came. I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the what? The will of my Father. His heart was not divided. It was one. The day he stepped foot on this earth, to the day he died, his heart was one. To the glory, the will of the Father. And who is Jesus? He who knew no sin. He was without sin. He was clean. He was pure in the heart. You need to come to Him. You need to come to Jesus and get purified. What you need, my brothers and sisters, you need to come to someone who has a clean heart, a pure heart, a single-mindedness, a single devotion to God. That's the first step. That's the first step of getting pure in heart. Those are the ones who are blessed. It's not you do this purity business. Clean your heart. You can't. The prophets understood this. Your hands are dirty. Dirty hands can't clean dirty hearts. Only clean hands and clean hearts if you are joined to this man, Jesus. That's how you become pure in heart. That's how you become. If you try to do this on your own, and I know you have, and I have too,
is not going to work. Again, this is not just for non-Christians. Go to Jesus and get purified in heart. This is for you. You need to come to Jesus every day. You need to cling to Jesus every day. Look to Jesus every day. Remember what the gospel is, the good news, the gospel purity. The good news is the gospel is designed to clean you through Christ. That's to a half job. Clean hands, clean eyes, clean heart, a clean life. Not just look clean on Sunday. Monday through Saturday. The gospel is good news because it's going to mainly address the purity of your heart. That's why it's good news. Not just outward correctness. A lot of you guys are trying to just do outward correctness so that others would look at your heart. That's not good news. Good news has to reach your heart, your will, your desire. The person. He changes you. Didn't he do that? Didn't he do that to you? He did that with me. My will, my desire. You guys know my testimony, right? It was to please other people. I was driving me. I wanted to think I'm somebody. You know, I'm smart. I was driving my life. Stuff was driving my life. I was so focused on those things. That was my heart. And you know what God did in college? That was a foolish life. Yeah, you need stuff. But my heart was there in the stuff. Pleasing and having friends ruled my life. It was such a tiresome life. That's the, you know, when I became a Christian, the more I read the Bible, the more I understood. It was a tiring life, and I didn't understand. I didn't even know it. I was putting all these weight on my life, where it wasn't even necessary. Looking back, it was just a sad life. I thought that was happiness. Focusing on me, not God. My heart was focused on everything that everyone else was focusing on. My non-Christian friends, right? You know, the good news, the purity is purity in heart. So that you will be pure and holy. For what? To live with God in heaven. Because that place is pure. That place is clean. Those who have a clean heart will see God. Hearts that are not divided. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we need a miracle. We often, O Lord, even as Christians, resort to our own devices, our own strength. Though we were saved by faith in your Son, through your Spirit, through Him, often we resort to our own righteousness, our own strength, our own purity to drive this Christian life into purity of heart. Who has bewitched us? O Lord, once again this morning, help us to turn to your Son. It's funny that we say He's our Savior, and yet we try to save ourselves. We claim that we believe that Jesus did this and this and this for us, And yet we try to save ourselves from problems, and especially from our uncleanness and impurity. Oh Lord, Lord, forgive us for not seeing myself often, not seeing your truth, and resorting to my own strength and my own smarts and my own wisdom, and leaving behind the wisdom from your word. And it's found once again in union with your Son, united to Him forever. United and grafted into the vine that has life and purity. Oh Lord, forgive us. Help us to look to Him. He's the real hero. We're just piggybacking on Him. Oh Lord, give us eyes to see this good news. I pray. May we not put on this burden trying to become pure in heart apart from your Son. Oh Lord, help us. May we continue to believe and preach the good news to us now, I pray. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ.